The postmortem for lean 4 kernel soundness bug number 14576 is, to my eye, the most technically significant piece in today's feed, even though it scored 152 upvotes compared to the RSS story's 541. The author is Leo Demura, who is one of the primary architects of Lean 4, the programming language and interactive theorem prover. A soundness bug in a theorem prover is a different category of failure than a soundness bug in, say, a web application. It means the system incorrectly certified a proof as valid when it wasn't.
For listeners who aren't deep in the formal verification world, let me provide the stakes here. Lean 4 is increasingly being used to verify mathematical proofs at a research level, including work connected to the ongoing project of formalizing significant portions of modern mathematics. The MathLib project, which has formalized tens of thousands of mathematical theorems in Lean, depends on the kernel being sound. If the kernel has a bug that lets it accept invalid proofs, then any theorem that was verified during the period the bug was present might be suspect.
The postmortem is admirably candid about the nature of the failure. It was a universe polymorphism issue. Lean 4, like most dependently typed systems, has a hierarchy of type universes to avoid Russell's paradox, and the bug allowed certain universe constraints to be satisfied incorrectly in a way that could, in principle, be exploited to derive a contradiction. In practice, Demura notes, no existing MathLib proofs appear to be affected because the bug required a fairly specific combination of features to trigger, but the possibility is unsettling.
The HN comment thread is fascinating because it draws in people from the formal verification community, the programming language theory community, and a broader audience of engineers who are watching the formal method space with interest. One recurring theme, this kind of transparent, detailed postmortem is exactly what distinguishes the formal verification community from the security research community when vulnerabilities are disclosed. There's no hedging, no minimization, just a precise technical account of what went wrong and what the fix is.
The RFC 1001 Fiend story on deprecating obsolete key exchange methods in TLS 1.2 and DTO is more operational, but affects a much larger surface area. The methods being deprecated include static RSA key exchange and a set of finite field Diffie-Hellman cipher suites that lack forward secrecy. 63 upvotes and 16 comments. And the thread is mostly practiced engineers nodding along while noting that actually getting this deprecation enforced in production is going to require significant remediation work on legacy systems.
The forward secrecy point is worth explaining for listeners who aren't in the security world. With static RSA key exchange, which has been used in TLS deployments for decades, the security of past sessions depends on the long-term private key never being compromised. If an adversary recorded encrypted traffic in 2018 and later obtained the private key through a breach, they could retroactively decrypt all that traffic. Forward secrecy, which is what ephemeral Diffie-Hellman and ECDH provide, generates fresh keys for each session so that compromising the long-term key doesn't expose past sessions.
The when random.bytes runs but doesn't work piece from the Bitcoin C++ conference blog is a wonderful war story that connects to this theme. The author describes a debugging session tracing a cryptographic failure to a case where a random number generator call appeared to succeed. It returned without error. It executed in what looked like the expected time, but was producing deterministic output rather than random output. The system had silently fallen back to a non-random source.
This failure mode is particularly treacherous because cryptographic code is often the last place you'd look for a problem. It's typically well-tested, well-reviewed library code. The actual bug was in the entropy source initialization on a specific platform configuration where the expected hardware random number generator wasn't available. And the fallback path had a bug that made it look like it was working. 53 upvotes and 24 comments, and the thread is a collection of practitioners sharing similar, looked like it worked, wasn't working stories from their own code bases.
There's a security curriculum lesson in this story that I want to surface explicitly. This connects to what's sometimes called Hiram's Law. Over time, users will depend on all observable behaviors of a system, including unintentional behaviors. In the random.bytes case, the dependency was on the function returning an error when it couldn't produce randomness. The function violated that expectation silently, and the result was cryptographic failure. The fix isn't just test the random function, it's don't trust entropy sources without defense in-depth validation.
The Android interoperability win from the Open Home Foundation adds a different dimension to the security and systems discussion. The story has 134 upvotes and 55 comments, and it's about Android's new support for the Matter and Thread protocols in a way that genuinely improves the smart home interoperability story. The Open Home Foundation, which is the nonprofit that stewards Home Assistant, has been pushing for exactly this kind of cross-platform compatibility. And the victory here is that Android can now act as a local hub for Matter devices without requiring any cloud intermediary.
The comment thread is more cautious than the headline. Several people note that Android supports X is complicated by the fragmentation of the Android ecosystem. What version of Android, on what device, with what OEM modifications? The feature may work beautifully on a Pixel 9 running Android 16 and have zero availability on a mid-range device from 2023. The Open Home Foundation's work is genuinely valuable, but the gap between Android the platform supports this and Android devices in the wild support this has historically been wide.
Bore, the open source policy management tool for Linux desktops, fits into this ecosystem conversation. It's positioned as a way to apply centralized policy management, the kind of thing enterprises do with Windows group policy, to Linux desktop environments. 32 upvotes and 3 comments is early traction for a show HN, and the problem space it's addressing is real. Linux desktop adoption in enterprise contexts has historically been limited partly by the absence of mature policy management tooling.